Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to all of our listeners. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio, Tweaking Your Vibrations with Angela and Val. Hello, Val. You here?
Hello. Hey, girl. What's shaking?
Oh, the wind. Of course, I really wouldn't know that. I haven't been outside to know if the wind was shaking, but yeah, all is good.
You're so funny.
Oh, gosh. It's a wonderful Sunday, and I hope you guys are also having a wonderful Sunday. Today, we will be discussing indigos. What does this word mean, and how are they benefiting planetary energy? What does it mean to be indigo? Well, there are a lot of websites and books that have lots of information that I've come across over the past couple of years. There's not just one characteristic, but there's many of them. One in particular, the website www.masterinstitute.org/indigo, and that's INDIGO.html. They describe the traits of indigo children here as they come into the world with a feeling of royalty and often act like it. I can relate to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, not to step on you, honey, but, you know, one of the reasons why we were having this show today is because Angela recognizes many of these traits and found out, several years back, I'm not sure how many years back you found out, that she actually carries this energy. And so we wanted to have a personalized blog talk program today surrounding that information, and let her share and enlighten all of us, so to speak, about her experiences as an indigo adult. Okay, just wanted to share that.
I'm not going to share all the traits, but Val's right. I had this from a young age. I've always known that there was something that was just a little bit different about me, and I never had this information when I was a kid to go to or had anybody who knew exactly what this was to explain this to me. But that was that first one, coming into the world with a feeling of royalty and often acting like it. And I did. I acted like it. And I wondered where I got that from, because I remember my mom was she was all over the place with she just talked to everybody, and she was just friendly with everybody. And what my family used to say, they used to have a phrase for that, you have your people picked. And I did. When I was little, I had my people picked. If I didn't feel that someone was, I don't even know how to explain this, but to use this phrase, if someone was where I was or on my level, I didn't talk to them. And it came across as being stuck up. But
That's a good question. And, you know, one of the things, Angela, was it kind of like, you know, to the outward appearance, it looked like it was stuck up. But maybe it was about, since we're learning about vibrations and frequencies, perhaps it was that you were just vibrating a different frequency than people around you. And until until someone that had a similar frequency to yourself came into play in your space, you did feel outside. You did feel disconnected, because it was just a different frequency. It's like different radio stations. So it's going to be static. And that was one of the things, I think, as children, you're not, you know, we come into the world, we forget who we are. We want love and acceptance and acknowledgement. And yet there's that different frequency, not only for our parents or, you know, with our parents, or siblings, and it could also be kids, you know, or maybe not the kids. You're more aware that there's a different frequency. Maybe other kids are not yet aware.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of you are kind of creating a separateness, but yet if it was more talked about at that time, then there would have been more attuning in to each other.
Right, and I would have understood. I would have understood it because I really didn't understand it, and my that was the term that was used. But you know, you're being stuck up, and you don't have the words to explain why you feel the way you feel, or why you only want to be around people who feel right to you. You don't have the dialogue to explain that, and I found it kind of difficult growing up in my neighborhood when I was younger because there was no one who related to me. And so most of the time I got into I didn't have a lot of friends that I hung around with. I knew people, but I didn't – there was no one that I could call, say, that was a really good friend of mine. I always felt displaced, and I'm sure my siblings did, my brother and my sister did as well, because – It appeared that the neighborhood kids would stick together. We kind of came in after they had already been there for a while, and they stuck together. We were always the outsiders, and it felt strange or weird because we noticed how they all got along, and no one seemed to get along with us, and we just couldn't. There was no words to describe or no way to describe why that happened. We felt it. But there are also a couple of other characteristics they talk about. Simply will not do certain things. For example, waiting in line is difficult for them. Get frustrated with systems that are ritually oriented and do not require creative thought. That was me. I could
you really resonate with that, huh?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that it said, and we're going to post these show notes, and we're going to also post these in our chat session today. We're also going to post these show notes on our Tweaking Your Vibrations website. We have an actual blog talk link. And so now on our site, yay, thank you to my brother Chris.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to post these notes. So one of the things that you were talking about, the creative stuff that you really resonated with, and, you know, you even knowing you now, it is about you don't like, you know, even if we're using some of these other things, there's a part of you that's very original, and it comes in conversations with you. You know, like stuff will show up in the conversations. But if I was to ask you for a structured thing, it would be like hitting the wall. There's a part of you that likes to tune into that creative force, like osmosis in a way. And I've noticed that you have much more success at that than trying to do a cut and paste or, you know, like this is, here you are at the list of whatever. There's a sense that you like to be on the spot, creative osmosis. And I find that you're more attuned to that. And it's beautiful. And so, you know, just working with you over the last 6 months, I've come to appreciate that when we do our shows even, it's better if we have a conversation about them.
Yeah.
Because things will show up in the moment, you know, so.
And that was one of the problems I had in school, was conforming to how everybody else worked. And what the class, what the teacher said, you know, you're supposed to do it this way, and then step four, you do it this way. And I had problems with that, and I didn't, my first grade, second grade, third grade year, I didn't do very well because I wasn't allowed to learn things the way that I saw that they were easy.
Well, yeah, that would make a lot of sense, and I think right even now our children, you know, I was thinking about education. There's a conformity that in the energy of when it was written, that's no longer applied, and words are energy. Words are life, and they are energy, the vibration. They're a symbol of vibration, and so I can see that if they have a cookie-cutter system that was, say, started in early 1900s, that for the 21st century, it would be a really hard pill, a challenging pill to swallow for kids that are not even vibrationally connected to that.
Yes.
And, you know, this is one of the awarenesses, you know, Angela and I both have passion for that, about bringing awareness, educating what's going on in the present moment, how to serve for the highest good of all. And so I can see that, Angela, you know, just from you sharing that, why that would be extremely difficult, because that was not even vibrationally in, you know, in your matrix at all,
right,
when that stuff was first written, or a lot of the other kids that are now coming in since the, you know, late 60s is when I've heard that the first indigo started coming in, that indigo energy. So mm-hmm. makes total sense.
Yeah, and even with my kids, because they're both indigo children, and with my kids, I've always told them that if they know that this is true. I've always told them that because of my experiences in school and how I had difficulty in learning because I had to learn the way that the teacher said I had to learn, they understand that, you know, I can come to mom, she can help me with this, she can help me with a way to understand it so that I get it, so that it's clear for me. And even if need be, if, you know, we've never run into that problem, but if they were ever to run into the problem where, you know, the teacher said I had to learn something this way, or I couldn't count on my fingers. That was a big thing in math. Don't count on your fingers. And that got me, because I'm like, why not? If that's what helps you to learn in the beginning, then why not be able to count on your fingers or make marks on your paper so that you can, you know, you know where you're at? But they know that, you know, if something needs to be taken care of, because I understand where they are, that you know, they have that help, that assistance with me.
Very cool.
There are a couple of other things I want to mention that are really important. There's a list, there's just the characteristics, there's a lot of them, but I'm going to just go through it, and again, you could just go to the website, www.masterinstitute.org, and they have those the descriptions there. But indigos are often introverted and loners. They like to work alone most of the time or in groups where there is a mutual cooperation and respect, and they are seemingly antisocial until they meet up with others like them, and that, again, goes back to the phrase that my mom used, you know, having your people picked. But one characteristic that that stands out is they can be misdiagnosed as ADD or ADHD. And I can see why that would be, because most of the time, and there's also an ADD, or there's something, and I'm trying to remember what the term is used for that, but it's in the same category where you're the complete opposite. You're the introvert, the seemingly antisocial. You can be classified as having a problem also. There was this interview I was listening to a few months back where this girl was on the opposite end of that, where we think ADD or ADHD children are like overactive and they're all over the place. She was on the opposite end of the spectrum. She was overly quiet and introverted and she seemed to be antisocial. But these kids are often misdiagnosed because of their behavior. And it's really prevalent now, because I don't remember hearing this when I was in first and second and third grade. You didn't hear about ADD or ADHD kids. You just heard that they were problem children and they put them in a special ed or, you know, special class. But that's happening a lot now. And I think it's because there's a lot of indigo children that are coming out later. I can't remember what the year was. I want to say it was 1995. There's a few of them coming out or being born because of the state of the world and what's going on today. So this stood out, this being misdiagnosed as ADD or ADHD, that stands out for me.
Yeah, and you know what else is interesting that you're talking? I just want to give a shout out to our guest 726, Light 8 Radio, Patty's Angel and Readings, Heaven Earth. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate you listening
thank
on our
you
chat line. Thank you, thank you. Well, you know, regards to ADHD, now I was thinking about my nephews. And one of the things that was interesting was I started when I was pregnant with my son. That's probably the beginning of my awareness around energy and spirituality was when I got pregnant with him. I was a single mom at the time when I did get pregnant with him, and it was a really intense time for me. And so I really started relying on, you know, what's this spiritual, you know, what's our path, you know, because it was in the face of that. But, you know, the ADHD and the diet stuff, I'm really, you know, thinking that I was infusing a lot of spiritual energy into that, into my pregnancy. And I'm wondering if just some of the chemicals and the preservatives that are in the foods, because we have so much foods with that, is really a hard time with, you know, like one of the traits was about the sensitivities to food and additives, and also what did you say here about the allergies? I'm wondering if these are allergies based on like that the body's reacting, that their vibration is reacting to foods that are not natural or nutritious, or, you know, really helps their vibration, you know, to stay clean in that body, in the body, physical body. That brings a bit, you know, we can have another topic. I'd love to bring somebody on that understands the energy of foods because, you know, you and I have had that discussion. Mm-hmm. But that would be, you know, a really good time. Patty says, I am almost positive my daughter's an indigo, but she's 33 years old. Could it possibly be because of her age? You know, Patty, we've learned that they started coming in the late 1960s. And Angela was born in 71. Mm-hmm. 71. So, yeah, there's a possibility that your daughter is that could very well be an indigo child. And they get activated at certain times, don't they, Angela? Isn't there like different activations? So some people are still not as conscious of them being on that frequency.
And I think
other
most
people.
Of the time, too, when you, because I know when I hit my, after 19, I hit my 20s, there was a lot of things that changed for me, but wasn't really paying attention. And then when I turned 29, it really hit me. There was a lot of things going on with me where that was a big awakening for me right there to who I was, to who I really was. Because I think there's like a 10-year cycle. I'm not sure, but that's how it happened for me, in 10-year cycles. And so, you know, if she had something going on, or if she can think back to when she was 29 and when she turned 30, she can think back to anything that, you know, was a trigger for her, or some events that seemed to happen that seemed to kind of indicate that things were crumbling around her. That might have been her awakening.
Yeah, Patty's Angels was saying that her daughter was diagnosed with ADHD, and I noticed my nephews were too, and yet they have some really great connections with computers and gadgets and things like that. We were talking about that. They're very intuitive about that. They're very technically oriented. So is some of the other children that are autistic. It's interesting that brain, you know, like there's a path of least resistance, but that is there's a highly intelligence. It's just that some of the brain wiring doesn't work, and yet we have thousands of cells in our brains. Wonder if it was more about being aware, and that parent could help tap into how they translate, quote unquote, their information. Just like, you know, you and I will talk about things, and you will just start showing up, osmosis right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes. It's not a cookie format. It's not a cookie cutter. And you're very highly intuitive, and, you know, that's one of the other ones. And you're very highly, the psychic information shows up as well. When you're in a really safe, relaxed place, and you're able to flow that information, it comes out pretty quick.
It does, and I think that's why another reason. You know, I worked in I worked for the state for a while, and I remember when I first went being hired to work for the state. I was working. We were in training, and they had this thing. And I'm not just saying that it's just the state, but this is just where I was. They had this thing about putting their thumb on you to get you to do what they wanted you to do, and they had a way of talking at you to do it, and that so did not work well with me at all. I'm surprised I didn't. I was there for a total of 6 years about, and I'm surprised I didn't get fired before then because I have this thing about people. I will do anything that you, not anything, but I will do what you ask me if I feel it's reasonable and it's doable for me, but I have a real, I will buck the system when I'm taught that. And I just don't, I don't have any tolerance for being, for people being treated that way. And that's one of the traits also of an indigo. They don't have the tolerance for that kind of behavior. And when I got into the human resources office, when I was promoted and I got in there, things just got a lot worse because it just, where I was vibrational wise and where they were, it was not a match. And eventually I was let go from that job. Even though I knew I was supposed to quit a long time ago, I was let go, and it was a blessing because, you know, I had more time to pay attention to what it was that I wanted and who it was that I am than focusing my attention on all the stuff that was going on around me.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there's a website, Angela. Gosh, these times go by so fast. And
I know.
So, you know, it's like we're going to have, like, part two and part three, I believe. But one of the websites that Angela found about helping, if you can answer a couple questions, is IndigoIntentions.com.
Oh, yeah.
/indigo.htm. I put it in our chat. It will be in our post-show notes. You can answer some questions there if we were raising an indigo child. So we wanted to definitely preface that site. And, you know, that was one of the things that she found really interesting. And then there's another one that discusses the traits of indigo adults. It's indigohealings.com, adult/adultindigos.html. We'll have those on our post-show notes as well. But, Angela, you know, getting back into the conformity, there was another one that I was thinking, because there's a lot of spirituality regarding indigos, isn't there, that you were sharing?
Yes.
So can you kind of speak on that?
From a young age, I always felt like I don't even know if I can describe it now, but I was aware that there were other things going on around me that other people couldn't see. And to elaborate on that a little bit, I'm going to pick one story. When I was a child, I had this, and now I know it was my guide, that would follow me or that would appear at night in my room
mm-hmm.
while I was sleeping. And it used to scare the bejesus out of me. But I was never harmed by them. I always knew when they were there. And I'm saying they because I don't want to say he or she. Or I always knew that they were there, even when they stopped appearing to me, because it was just too much for me. But that, and also being, you know, I grew up Catholic, and, you know, we went to catechism, and, you know, I grew up in a Catholic home, and, you know, all these things that we were said we were supposed to do, and you're supposed to, you know, live your life this way, and this is supposed to happen. If you don't, then this is going to happen to you, or you're going to go to hell. All that stuff just never made sense to me.
Right, and I understand. I totally understand that, because that's a conformity. That's just another
mm-hmm.
thing. Light 8 Radio has a question about a lot of the, you know, this awakening is going on the consciousness, and these indigos and crystals are coming in, which hasn't even been mentioned. Yes, there is another crystal child that we'll be able to bring into another discussion, so thank you for sharing that. But it says, where do we go from here? You know, we know that these systems are dying. It says the universe definitely operates on an order system structure. What is a system of choice? I think part of it is about becoming into, and we'll speak more about this, about being guided by your inner guidance and your
mm-hmm.
intuition. This is kind of a pioneering field.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cosmic order that's helping us download, but I think it first starts teaching people how to trust their inner guidance
yes.
and their intuitive voice above the noise of others outside of them. It really does talk about the divine heaven that is within us, and not to separate the old structures, the old religious patterns, those structures were like reacting outside of us. But
yeah.
the divine heaven of all that is us, is within us. And when we can start listening to that inner voice, and we'll share more about this on another call, we start listening to that, tapping in, there is a systematic, it's a design that really feels right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you honor other people's diversity, but you also honor what's right for you.
For you.
And I've lived like that for over 25 years, and it has changed my whole life. It helped me, my own intuitive guidance helped me raise my children, and it was always that preface of for the highest good of all. It's just, I've lived in that different place. And so I think, you know, as we help people understand, first they have to go within. They
have
to connect, and
have
we can start sharing this with our children about how they listen to that intuitive guidance as well. And it's not about reacting with these structures. It's not even about resisting the old structures. It's actually about moving around them, you know, and being able to come out from that inner guidance, that inner power, and you know, living from that place. And yeah, there's a lot
your
of people,
vibration.
Yes,
That's what you need to be concerned with right there. When you change your vibration, you're doing something positive for all, because we're all connected. So you start with you and you change your vibration, and then everything else just falls into place.
Yeah, and one of the things is guided by inner is the first order of spiritual being. The new reality is here now. This is what Light 8 Radio is sharing. So we cement this so that at least a focus other than everybody, just do your own thing. Yes, yes. That's part of it. Because when you're honoring yourself first, there's a sense of non-attachment and unattachment to where everybody else is. You can hold a vibration of wellness within you. And that wellness is going to go out of be unto others, not do, but be unto others
mm-hmm.
as you would like to be unto yourself. And the whole thing is about be unto yourself. No one really gets that everything around us is a mirrored reflection.
That's right.
So when you kind of look at what the mirrored reflection is, you can kind of see where you might have gotten off track, because everything is a gift on the outside. But instead of resisting it, learn to kind of tune in of where are you listening to your own voice?
Mm-hmm.
Are you being guided by your own intuitive guidance for the highest good of all? That's a big thing that people are waking up to. We all have that. There is nothing separated from the divine of all that is out here.
Right.
There's a lot of paths, because each of us have that single, we're like a single note in the symphony of the universe. We all have our own unique way of expressing that note, but yet we are a symphony in the wholeness. And it's about tapping into our wholeness. And when we do, and we are doing our own thing, everyone else has that permission, and you don't find the resistance.
Okay.
You know, indigo children, when you tune into their world, because my grandson, when I listen to his world, it's easier for me to communicate with him, and he follows, like the guidelines of not hurting himself, so to speak, or you know, but he has so much energy to express. And
mm-hmm.
so what I'm helping support him is how to express his energy for the highest good of all, how to help him, you know, feel acknowledged and feel powerful in his own right without having to conform to someone else's,
mm-hmm.
including my idea of what that looks like. So it's really about watching his bend. And I did that with my other two as well. They're very creative, and I always ask them, to you know, work with their creativity and work with their inner guidance, because they have a different pathway. And just like a lot of these children are coming in and they're not connected to the baggage of the wars and not connected to mm-hmm. the baggage of the depressions, and they're and so, you know, here these people are trying to conform them to that, all
yes.
that energy, that collective energy. It's not working.
It's not, and
it's confusing for them.
And if you're not conforming to that, then you're not patriotic, and you don't love your country, and you don't, you know, we indigos don't we don't identify with that. That is baggage that we just do not identify with, because we know that there's a bigger picture. It has nothing to do with being patriotic or, you know, a fanatic about something. That doesn't resonate with us. We don't fall into the guilt trip of all that the words or the implications of what all that stuff means.
Yeah, there's a Light 8 Radio was saying that the so-called sinister is well aware of what's going on, and even though they're on their last waltz, they're still using the universal laws to hold on as long as possible. Mm-hmm. When do you realize that there is more to being than just doing nothing as a collective school? School of Fishers is a mass of sheep being led. Well, I think part of it is just one by one by one, being the light that you are,
mm-hmm.
activates other energies. And I'm, you know, just as an intuitive healer, when I can really just hold a space like a clean slate for someone, and in that lighted space of just allowing and acceptance, their wholeness comes forth, and it's just helping them. Let's see. Light 8 Radio says, curious, I noticed that really in the so-called enlightened circles, is there any thought to what manifesting a new reality would take? Everybody doing the Tibetan monk thing. Let me see.
No. You don't have to. If I'm understanding the question right, you don't have to do. You don't have to be like, you know, like that, or live your life in a certain way that would seem that you're excluding yourself from something, or you're not, you know. I know Tibetan monks, I'm trying to explain this with the best way possible without going way into it, but no, you know, I don't think that you have to do that.
Well, I think the part of the manifesting of a new reality is like, it says, I notice there's really in the so-called enlightened circles, there's any thought, creative thought, to what manifestation a new reality would take, everybody doing that. Maybe cool and let me be-ish, but there would have to be a manifest reality, as that is the nature of third, fourth time, space dimension. I believe in just what I'm experiencing, because there's times that I experience an altered state in my
mm-hmm.
presence. First of all, when more and more people become that the present moment is the only moment of power that there is, and from that power you can choose. When everyone lives presently, and that's consciously, when they allow themselves to live present, and there's not a past mental thought or a future mental thought, but when people start living presently in their bodies, and that's a different discussion. You're welcome, Light 8 Radio. there is a lot of manifesting destiny that's going on, but there's also that higher hierarchy of you know, the collective consciousness has to embrace the individual diversity. I think that's the biggest thing, and I don't know where we are in alignment with that. You know, it's like collectively we have to embrace our diversity and our individuality and give each other permission, because that's the thing about being all that is. All that is different out here. You can look at that in nature. Everything has, you know, flowers are different. Everything is different. And so collectively, I think when we start being in honoring our self, honoring our note, honoring who we are, and just coming from that place of, you know, people can honor each other as they are, and they give more acceptance and freedom, then we'll be able to see the collective society changing on a massive scale. But it's just right now, a lot of us are individually changing things. I think that's the biggest thing. And so Light It Radio says, thanks for the day, for coming. We're coming to a close, and we really didn't. We got off track a little bit. Sorry about that, Angela.
Oh, well.
But we do have some of the purposes for indigos. There's a sense that they want to be kind of connected to the Christ consciousness, and that's the message of Christ,
mm-hmm.
about that greater who we are is greater within than without, and that power of thought, and how we can play a role. We're going to have post-show notes, and we're also going to share some, like, controversial stuff. Yes, Angela?
Yeah.
Like that one about the study or the purpose of indigos, and we'll have those on our site, tweakingyourvibrations.com. That's TWEAKINGYOUR, vibrations, VIBRATIONS.com. We'll have our post-show notes listed there within the next 24 hours. And let's see. Angela, did you want to add some to this conversation? I'm just going to post these links that we were talking about earlier on here.
No, I think we just about covered it. No, I think that's about it. I think we covered basically everything.
Is there anything? I just want to make sure that you covered what you wanted to.
We'll be here all day if I want to, you know, if I continue to. So, no, we basically covered everything. We'll be here all day.
This got to be exciting because, you know what? Gosh, it you know, some more things came up about and there is a movie out there, Some People for whatever it's worth. Remember, you want to share about that?
It's a movie called Indigo, and it's directed by Steven Deutsch and written by James Twyman and Neil Donald Walsh. Now, Neil Donald Walsh has these series of books called A Conversation with God, but I just found out about this movie, so I hadn't had a chance to watch it yet, but I would suggest watching it. It's about exactly what we're talking about, you know, indigos, finding, going through the struggle of being here and trying to work through the human drama and remember who they were so that they can assist other people in remembering who they are. This movie, I've heard about it before, and it slipped my mind, but I have got to go and watch this movie. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Hollywood Video, if I'm not mistaken, they have a couple copies in there, and maybe Blockbuster does too.
Blockbuster has some. Amazon has copies if you want to buy it. If you have a Netflix subscription, which I do, you can get it there too. I think you can actually watch it on your computer. You don't have to wait for the movie to come in. So, yeah, they're all over the place.
So, in closing, you know, in wrapping up this, what is a benefit that you would like to share moving forward, Angela, with people that have, you know, that are really resonating with the indigo energies, that believe that they are part of this connection, this vibration? What would you like, in closing, share? What's a benefit that you can share with them?
I guess I would want to share that it is a lot of, it feels like a lot of responsibility, but I would say the benefit for me, I don't know what it would be for anybody else, but the benefit for me is that if I could be responsible for assisting anyone else in their own empowerment, then that brings me joy. That's the benefit for me, and it really brings home what we're all here to do, and that is to love each other and be happy, and to spread that joy. And so that would be the benefit that's the benefit that I get from it.
And I've been encouraging you. So I'll just say this to our listening audience. Great questions, by the way, today, everyone.
Yes.
We really appreciate that, Light 8 Radio and Patty's Angel and our other guests that came on. We really appreciate you. Thank you. and the guest 726, and I think we had another one. But we really appreciate the fact that that we have a listening audience. I'm encouraging Angela. I'm going to say it out loud so we can put it out there. Mm-hmm. I'm encouraging Angela to really work with effective communication through the Indigo understandings, because it is new information coming in, and so I've been inviting her and empowering her and encouraging her to start putting this information collectively together so that she can share those experiences, and that is also a benefit. She has a passion for helping people understand, work out any glitches, how to have a happier, joyful environment in the workplace. She's very passionate about that because of her experiences. So I'm inviting her and supporting her in putting out a perspective that comes from an Indigo viewpoint. And a lot of kids are now in that classification, but I think it would help be really, really helpful and supportive for newer, for the children showing up as this is coming out. So it could be in the form of an e-book. It could be in the form of a written book. But, you know, each week as we start diving into these topics, more and more awareness about how she can support people going through her experiences is starting to surface. So I'm putting it out there, Angela.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you very much. You have been very, very helpful in working with me through this, and I appreciate it. I really do.
So emails with any questions, you can email us at tweakingyourvibrations@gmail.com. You're also welcome to email us and let us know if there's a topic that you would like us to talk to that's kind of eclectic and spiritual, and, you know, where we're moving towards in the planetary energies, where we are so curious about all sorts of things. And so we'll be happy to take a look at that. Please also join us on our site, tweakingyourvibrations.com. We do have a guest link on there that you can join us, and we'll be happy to, you know, participate in any questions or any conversations you'd like to talk about. If you have a favorite book or a favorite author or a favorite movie or something, anything that you want to connect to the enhancing well-being in the planet is mostly welcome. We really appreciate that. And thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
We love doing this, and it gives us joy. This is one of our ways of contributing to the planet for ourselves, and we love working with this. Our next topic next Sunday is going to be something around effective communication. I'm not sure what it is, Angela, but we'll post that midweek. I just want to say I was, previous to our call today, I was sending my own memorial. My beloved next-door neighbor was 14. His name was Neiman Marcus, and his friends called him Nemo, and he crossed over on July 5th, and so my week has been kind of just experiencing my own emotions and feelings as a parent, and as missing him. His smile, his brilliance, the things that he desired to do was incredible, and I got to learn more about him as they laid him to rest yesterday. But he's still with us. He's here. Love is the greatest power of all. Death, as we know it, quote, even though we let go of our human bodies, we're still alive, and he is a light, and he will always be a light, not only to his family, most significantly, but those that knew him. So I'm just going to send out a shout out. We love you, Neiman, and we so am so honored to have known you for the 14 years that you were on this planet, and I've got a little piece I'm going to write and blog about, but we so appreciate him. And so anyone that hears this message, just send so many prayers of love and support for his family, mm-hmm. and as well as for his next journey where he's going. Other than that, we so appreciate you again. Thank you. We look forward to you connecting with us next week. And I hope you have an amazing afternoon. Many, many blessings of love and light.
Thank you, guys, and have a great Sunday.